Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today we've got a crazy relationship story of somebody trying to figure out whether or not their father-in-law's actions were too handsy. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, together 10 years, male 48, female 47, we tell people we're married but we're not, and male 48 doesn't want to. Why? I'm a 47-year-old woman. I've been with my 48-year-old male partner for 10 years. We have a 5-year-old daughter. We had a marriage ceremony with my family 8 years ago, but my partner did not want to file the marriage certificate because he said it would cost us too much on taxes. He calls me his wife and I call him my husband. We wear wedding rings. When I had our daughter, I left a really successful career to be home with her because he pressured me to do so after I had her. I finally got a part-time job back in my field and can move to full-time when our daughter starts kindergarten. His wealth has grown since we've been together and my world has shrunk. Now he wants to move. I told him I'm not comfortable moving and leaving my job unless we're legally married. I've told him this before and he gets very angry. He says, "You're all about the money, aren't you?" But I'm thinking, what are we doing here? We're playing house, but he doesn't actually want to marry me. I don't even know what my response should be because I'm so floored. He's not always a nice guy. We're already together for 10 years. He likes to pretend we're married and I make him look good. But he doesn't want to actually give me the security of being in a committed relationship? Help. Now, I'm no expert, but doesn't getting married actually give you more tax breaks? Wouldn't it actually be more beneficial? Like, if anything, it sounds to me like he's just trying to look out for himself. There's also a number of commenters convinced that at 48 years old, you've been together for 10 years, only 38 when you got together. Maybe he has a prior marriage that never ended. Also, I just have to say, depending on where you live, you might qualify for palimony regardless of whether or not you're married. 59 Flowerpots wrote, "Realize that he's projecting. He's the one that's all about money. You want to get married to protect yourself and your daughter in case something happens to him. He wants to make sure that you are penniless if something happened to him or if y'all break up. The fact that he pressured you to leave your job when you first had her speaks volumes. Take care of yourself, because he certainly won't. Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy tricky relationship stories, why not hit those like and subscribe buttons down below? That said, our next story is, am I, 31-year-old female, in the wrong for not allowing my boyfriend's, 36-year-old male, son, 12-year-old male, to live with us after he had a violent outburst towards me? I've been together with my boyfriend Jay for around 7 years, and we've been living together for about 2 years in a home I inherited. During our relationship, Jay hasn't been the best father to his 12-year-old son, Junior. He would have him on sporadic weekends and some school breaks, but there was never a formal agreement between him and his ex, Kelly. I don't think he made the effort he could have. Junior does have some issues with ADHD and autism, and was previously on a couple different medications, but because of an insurance issue, he had not been on those medications lately. This past weekend, Jay had to work and I was watching Junior. It was an overall good day, but everything went downhill once it was time to bring Junior back to his mom's house. He wanted to bring a toy that is somewhat similar to Lego. Think a lot of small pieces and really messy. I told Junior he couldn't bring it to his mom's, and that was the beginning of a huge fit. I tried to take the toy away from Junior so we could leave, and Junior got violent, pushing and punching me. I should not have tried to take the toy. Then he tried to leave the house. I managed to stop him from leaving, which in hindsight was a bad idea. Then he started hitting the window in the living room. I tried to stop him, and again, there was more punching and hitting me with his toy. I wasn't able to stop him, and he ended up breaking the large window in the living room. There was a lot of arguing and yelling, and at one point, he even grabbed a knife from the kitchen and stabbed through a baking sheet on the stove. He did come at me for a moment, but he ended up throwing the knife at the refrigerator. Eventually, Junior locked himself in his bedroom and hopped out the window and left the house. The whole fight left me with a bump on my head, some bruising on my arm, and just generally sore from trying to restrain him. At that point, I called the cops to pick him up. While all of this was going on, I was trying to get in contact with my boyfriend Jay, but his phone wasn't working and the number I had for Junior's mom was disconnected. After Junior ran off, I finally got in contact with Jay and he was able to meet with the cops and get Junior and eventually take him home to his mom's. There was a lot of talking and crying. I really regret the whole situation. I should have just let him take his boy. The problem is that Junior was supposed to come live with Jay and myself during the summer and potentially beyond that. However, the whole incident made me realize that I do not want him to live here. Not until he gets help and shows improvement. I'm a small lady and Junior is already taller than me. He's only going to get bigger. I'm honestly worried that this will happen again and he might actually seriously hurt me or someone else. I don't feel like we're equipped to give him the help he needs. Also, after talking to Junior's mom, Kelly, I found out Junior has also punched and hit her on numerous occasions, and that the school has given up on him and lets him do whatever he wants because he gets violent with the staff. I told my boyfriend that I don't want Junior living here, but he strongly feels that Junior will not get better if he continues living with his mom, Kelly. I do agree with that, but I feel a little traumatized from the whole situation, and I can't imagine having to walk on eggshells and be afraid in my own home. I did suggest my boyfriend get an apartment if he wants Junior to live with him. We could still maintain our relationship, we just wouldn't live together. My boyfriend was upset by this and told me I have to be with him 100% or not at all. I feel I am prioritizing my health and safety rather than my relationship, but is that the wrong choice? Should I allow his son to live with us? The relationship is over if I don't. I do feel like the child needs help, but I think he needs more help than we can give. I told Jay I would be willing to discuss having Junior live here if he showed improvement controlling his anger. Jay has scheduled some appointments with therapists and psychiatrists. This could be the end of the relationship, but it's really not what Jay wants nor what I want. But I don't know if we can find a compromise. Jay feels like I'm running away because it got hard, but I'm just trying to prioritize my safety. I would be willing to help in other ways. I do want to help Jay's son, but I don't want Junior to stay in my home. Any advice or suggestions on a better compromise would be appreciated. I just have to say, if I were OP, I would not want to be living with Junior until after he had undergone some long corrective therapy. Realistically, I don't think this is something that a few therapists and psychiatrist appointments is going to correct. I mean, the kid broke the window and was inches away from attacking with a kitchen knife.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. How do you, a few weeks after that, live in the same house comfortably with that person, sleeping at night, not worrying that you're going to get attacked in the middle of the night? Abby Road wrote, "I'm a psychiatrist. I feel for you. That is a horrible thing to have to endure, and you shouldn't blame yourself for doing something as reasonable as telling him to leave a toy. I also feel for Junior. I think it is super significant that he used to take meds but isn't on them now. Some kids with autism do great on those meds. Some have even been approved specifically for violence in autistic kids, and entirely expectedly do poorly when they're not on them. His parents have failed him by letting whatever insurance lapsed to allow that to happen. I'm curious how your boyfriend was able to get appointments with psychiatry and therapists so quickly if there was an insurance issue. Makes me wonder if it was really an insurance issue, or maybe more of a case of parents are slowly becoming more hands-off with this difficult growing preteen boy, meaning they let the prescription lapse, etc. In any event, you are doing the absolute right thing for yourself, as well as for Junior. I assume this is an unusual occurrence, as you don't talk about similar incidents in the past, which does make me very highly suspicious the lack of meds and therapy treatment have contributed to this, possibly even caused it entirely. You are right to protect yourself and your space, and set the boundary that you will not have someone there who is violent that you don't feel you're able to calm down. Hopefully, by setting this boundary, you're also ensuring his parents will re-enroll him in the needed services and ensure they prioritize making sure he always has access to them, so a repeat does not happen. If your boyfriend truly does say the relationship is over because you need Junior to stabilize and show he can be safe before he can live in your space, then he sucks and you deserve better. Someone who cares about your safety and comfort, especially since you're asking for things that will be good for Junior as well. Hold your boundaries, you are 100% in the right. Stay safe. Our next story is, I, male 35, lost weight. She, female 34, didn't. And now I don't want to hook up with her. Married 8 years, together 15. And yes, I know the title makes me sound like a huge jerk, but please hear me out. My wife and I have always been on the larger size. Comfort eating and being comfortable around each other meant we both ended up putting on a lot of weight. At my heaviest, I was 290 pounds at 5'10", and she 275 pounds at 5'4". I want to stress, though, that I do find her very attractive and still do. Our sex life has never been one to brag about. Monthly or every other month, I would do all the work and she would very rarely reciprocate stuff. The term pillow princess definitely applies, but more like pillow queen or empress with how little I got back. I would always initiate, and as a result, I always questioned if she was maybe asexual or not attracted to me. Last year, I decided to really stick at trying to lose weight and get fit, and after a lot of hard work, I'm now 185 pounds and in very good shape. I've built up a lot of muscle and managed to get very defined as well. My wife joined in for the first few weeks but gave up, and nothing I was able to do would get her to join. The problem is that now she has become very, very sexual. She wants it all the time. She's aggressive with what she wants. I've had more reciprocation from her in the last 2 months than in the entire rest of our relationship combined. She has made it also clear that this is because of my new appearance. I don't think it's some kind of hysterical bonding because she's worried I'll leave her. She treats me like I'm some fun new toy she has now. The thing is, though, that that's making me not want her. I was always very attracted to her at her size, and I still am, but I kind of feel like now she's shallow, that she was never really attracted to me at all, and the rest of my relationship was just a lie. I don't know if these feelings are justified or not. I just have to admit, if I were in an OP situation and that exact thing happened to me, my mind would be feeling a bit melted about this too. There would definitely be a number of nights where I'm just sitting there thinking about how there was a total 180 as soon as he weighed 180, and how only that caused it. The super perforator says, "What does your wife say when you sit her down and tell her these things? Can you talk to her about something like this?" Our next story is, my 36-year-old male, wife 39-year-old female, doesn't want to be accountable to anyone, me, for a year, then continue our marriage. It feels crazy that I'm seeking input from others on this, but as the title says, my wife doesn't want to be accountable or have to be a wife for up to a year so she can have fun and discover herself. It started out as her asking for a divorce, then a open separation, and now a closed separation. But essentially, she just wants to have fun for a year and not have to worry about calling me or coming home, etc. We've been together for nearly 15 years, married for 6, and it's been crap for 3. She borderline ghosted me for a month every summer for the past 3 years when she traveled abroad. She gaslit me into believing I was making it up, and may or may not have had an emotional affair. Well, I've just typed that all up and I feel stupid now. I've only typed up an abbreviated version of the heck that has been my life for the past 3 years, and I've not even covered anywhere near a quarter of it. I know what to do. I do. I think I just wanted someone to tell me it'll work out or tell me I'm being a fool for considering staying. I don't know. How do I stop myself from doubting myself? I love her to death, but she clearly doesn't love me the same way. Why keep me on retainer? I haven't been the perfect husband, but I've been overwhelmingly amazing, and the sex is incredible. I don't get it. I want kids. She won't be able to much longer. If she doesn't want to be accountable, she shouldn't want to be a mother anyways, despite what she says. I think it does go without saying that the writing seems pretty on the wall for this relationship. Generally, from my experience, a break is not just like a pause. It's usually just kind of a lighter way to break up without having to just admit it in the moment. We'll just push those feelings down the road when we have to confront them. Atlantean scholar wrote, "I am sorry that you have to go through this. I would assume that she already cheated when she ghosted you every summer when she would travel abroad. Divorce seems to be your only option because it seems to me that you do not have a reason to trust her anymore." Our next story is, should I go see my sick mother or go look for my missing father? My luck sucks and I'm in a pretty crap predicament at the moment. To give background, I'm male 24 and I have an older brother, male 36. My mother is sick with a few different diseases, MS, dementia, etc., but she's been slowly declining for a while. Since being on my own, I've struggled a lot to get where I'm at now, but I finally have enough money to go back home. I'm down south but from New York and see her. This will be my first trip to see her in 2 years, and my second in 10. Now, my father, I cut contact due to a lot of unhealthy behaviors, letdowns, and poor choices from the man. Claimed me on taxes when I was 20, never lived with him and was homeless. Since our last conversation, he's had a few health issues, along with one of them being early onset dementia. I had no knowledge of this though, as we hadn't talked in years. I have a trip in 3 weeks to see my mom. I've been saving money for months and it's supposed to be a surprise for her on Mother's Day. Wednesday night I notified that my father had taken a bus down to Florida to see his father his last time, as he was old and sick. During my father's trip, he had a transfer in North Carolina that he missed and ended up staying at the bus station for about 2 to 3 days till the home he was staying at helped him with a transfer. During this time waiting for a transfer, his father passed. My uncle lets him know he passed and my dad can.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Continues the last part of the bus trip. My dad makes it to Florida and gets in an Uber. After 5 to 10 minutes, the Uber guy states he kicked him out of the car due to his odor and mental state, as he seemed really confused and not there. We haven't heard from him since the 16th now. Here's where my needing for advice comes into play. Do I continue my trip home to see my mom? Or should I reroute and go to Florida to pass out signs and ultimately look for him? Everyone is going to say my mom, and so far everyone has been. But I feel like their judgment might be clouded by opinion because my dad is a selfish POS, but he's still my dad. Anyone I've talked to is chalking it up to old behavior, he'll be fine, he did this to himself, etc. Granted, I did cut him off, but I don't know. When I heard this, it was like that little kid in me just wanted their dad again. He's a butt, but he's all I got left in a sense. I don't want to lose him too. A few answers. Why was he on the trip in the first place by himself if he had memory issues diagnosed? He only very recently got checked apparently. His friend brought him to the hospital after my dad requested because he forgot how to go home one day from work. He also didn't let the staff at the house he was staying at know this information. Why are you just now looking for him? He has a past of drug abuse and a history of disappearing. My family didn't know or really take it serious after 2 to 3 days of no contact, as he's done this before in the past. They told my brother on Wednesday, who then told me, and yesterday, 4/25, filed a police report and all that. If I had known sooner, I would have been looking. His father slash his sibling's father just passed as well, so they have a lot going on, and with my dad, they assumed he was back in his old ways. Is he on drugs? No. The house he was staying at is just a men's shelter and I spoke to his counselor. He's been clean as long as he's been with them, 6 months, started a job, and was even in the process for housing. She's been working with him for 3 years and fully believes he would not relapse. I don't know if I would be comfortable enough giving an assertive answer. I think it's pretty obvious most people are going to lean towards the mom because, you know, you have that actual connection. You're close with her, you don't see her that much. And added the not-so-good history with the dad. Ginger is the best spice wrote, Mom, because you're close with her, don't see her much, sounds like you won't get many more chances. Also, realistically, he's lost somewhere you have no connections, no intimate knowledge of the area. He'll have been lost for a while by then, or he'll have been found. Many of the things you do there, you can do anywhere. Phoning for help, filing a report, calling the area shelters. I bet there's even a way to get flyers hung up, and the shelters or helpline might know. Our next story is, my 27-year-old female, boyfriend, 30-year-old male, didn't show up for me like he said he would, and now I'm feeling conflicted. Okay, this is long. My man and I have been together for 8 months. Before we met, my mom was diagnosed with early onset dementia in December of 2022 at the young age of 55. This past year, I'd say she's definitely reached the mid stages of her disease and is quickly regressing. On the other hand, she's still herself to her core and somewhat presenting for the most part. My childhood was pretty traumatizing and I still feel my nervous system spike when I'm around her. But a part of me is glad that her and my boyfriend have been able to meet and develop a sweet bond before she reached the late stages. She even regularly asks me about him, and they get along well. My mom has been in denial and very resistant and combative throughout the whole process of trying to get her into a home. The level of care she needs, my sister and I just can't provide, and she has no more money to live on her own. My sister is 2 hours away and very pregnant. Literally due next week. So physically, it's just been me, really. Well, a few days ago, after a long journey in the system, she was finally approved for a bed, and move-in day was today. We knew from before we got the call that we'd eventually have to make up a lie to get her physically in the home. If we told her the truth, she would have 10,000% refused to go and lose her spot. I know it's not exactly right, but trust, it was necessary. I told my boyfriend the great news about her finally getting a date to move in. I was so relieved but anxious about how the day would go. And at the same time, also anxious my sister might go into labor. He agreed to come as support, not just for me, but for both my sister and mom. My mom trusts him as he brings a sense of peace and humor. I was in tears, overwhelmed, just knowing it would be a crap show and mom would get hysterical. Also juggling other urgent matters, pulling me in all kinds of directions right now. He's seen her in an episode before, so he knows how erratic and explosive she can be, and how it affects me. I pulled an all-nighter packing all her things the night before move-in. We had 3 days to prepare. Nearly 24 hours awake from the previous morning, right after I finished packing, I drove downtown during rush hour to pick up my boyfriend, knowing we have to be at my mom's by 9 a.m. to take her to the long-term care home. I was a little early and he was just waking up, so I told him I'd grab us breakfast and pump gas and circle back. As he's getting himself together, I tell him his shirts are sitting in the dryer. He then texts me back, visibly irritated, because while grabbing his shirt, he noticed that I threw my work towels in the washing machine with his personal towel. I'm a masseuse and work out of his condo sometimes. Honest mistake, and I apologized and offered to get a new one or get it disinfected. Few minutes later, I arrive. I text, no answer. Call, no answer. 30 minutes, I'm sitting there with breakfast and all. By now, we have half an hour to make it to mom's on time, already running behind. And 7 calls and several texts later, nothing. I eventually told him I'm leaving, so I did. All of a sudden, he's outside. I just didn't respond because what? He then texts me that I made him get ready just to leave and follows up with, freak it, do your thing. I was honestly thinking the audacity of him to say that when I'm almost certain he watched me ring his phone off and let me wait because he was annoyed. And yes, of course, I'm doing my thing and leaving. I quite literally don't have the time nor the energy for those BS games today. I'm just trying to be focused on a smooth transition for my mom and get there on time, you know? This is essentially what I replied with, and that I just felt he abandoned me, knowing it was a significant day. Anyway, it was a whole morning and evening of constant tears, chasing her up and down the hall, trying to get her to calm down, feeling like I'm ruining her life and the worst daughter ever. Several times we'd somewhat calm her, then yet again she forgets that she's staying permanently. And we'd have to hear the same speech all over again about how we're the worst as she breaks down. Seeing her not able to identify with or relate to literal immobile seniors, some in a vegetative state, was really freaking sad. My sister's fiancé called to check in a few times, which made me more emotional, because my boyfriend did not call or text me one time. I'm just really disappointed and sad that he acted that way, knowing I was counting on his support. Rather than letting the towel situation get tabled for a bit, I understand how he was grossed out and frustrated, I really do, or handle it literally any other way that didn't interfere with today, he chose to move the way he did. To top it off, his final text to me after I decided to drive off from his place was, "It wasn't on purpose, but I guess you see how it feels now." I think he's referencing me taking a long time to get ready at times and running late. I don't even know. I didn't even care to try and make sense of it at the time. I don't even know how he thought this was an appropriate time to try and make a point like that. Fast forward, it's 9 p.m. and he's only now trying to text me asking how it went. I ignored both his calls and texts. I feel myself shutting him out right now. Some might say it's not communicative, but he chose to leave my side today just like that. I don't even want to explain to him how it went now, because it's like, you were supposed to be there. At the same time, all I've wanted to do and still want to do is be held by him and cry in his arms. I've been holding in. It has me feeling so uptight and uneasy. He is my safe place, but I'm so conflicted on being vulnerable now because all of this was a little messed up to me. Would I be wrong to leave him on ice right now? Or am I doing myself a disservice by not allowing a conversation at some point soon? I think it's completely understandable that OP's going through a lot right now. If you're not comfortable and you just don't think you can handle a conversation with them right now, I think that's understandable. But to play devil's advocate, I do think it is important to communicate how you're feeling and honestly how everything that happened today made you feel. I think what matters most is his reaction after all that's communicated and whether or not he's willing to try to make things better. Fiery Valkyrie wrote, "Wow, that is some petty bullcrap he's pulling there. There is no way he didn't see or hear your texts and calls while you were waiting for him. Look, if you're not ready to talk to him tonight, don't. You've had a physically and emotionally exhausting day. Leave him until tomorrow. Go pamper yourself a little bit. Take a nice relaxing bath, go to bed early, deal with his childish butt tomorrow." Our next story was my, female 30, father-in-law's, male 59, touch inappropriate? I don't know if I'm overreacting or not, but I felt myself freeze completely during the incident. I went to a black tie event with my in-laws. My husband was not with us until later that night. At the event, friends of my in-laws offered to take a group photo of us three. I was standing in the middle with my mother-in-law's arm on my shoulder, and my father-in-law placed his arm around my back and his hand rested on my waist. He started moving his thumb up and down, up to where my bra would be if I had worn one, and then slowly started gliding his hand down to my hips and back up again until we were done with the photos. I completely froze and felt like I couldn't move. Nothing happened afterwards. I don't see my in-laws often since we live in different states, but we have a good relationship. They are nice and very successful people, but the family in general isn't as warm and close as mine due to cultural differences. For example, the only time my husband or I have physical contact with them is during hello and goodbye hugs at the airport. I can't trust my judgment at the moment, because maybe he didn't realize what he was doing, or didn't mean it, or meant it in a nice, supportive way. To me, it felt a bit inappropriate, and more like how my husband would touch me. Was what he did more than he should have? I think so, but I would be willing to believe that this wasn't like an intentional thing that they were trying to do to, like, get a feel of OP, and more so just a mindless act, or maybe even like a comforting thing, like kind of how you rub somebody's back when you give them a hug, just as like an extra friendly type gesture. I definitely wouldn't outright just jump straight to, "Oh, this guy is definitely trying to do some sleazy stuff." Now, if he had, like, some kind of reputable history, like if the son knew that the dad was a little too touchy, that would then maybe be indicative of more. Brown Wally Boot wrote, "I wouldn't go nuclear on this. I once did this to my brother in a photo by accident because I was used to doing it to my wife. Just kind of went on autopilot and wasn't really paying attention. He may not have meant anything by it. I'd see if anything else weird comes up, and if it does, then address it with your husband." Our next story is, best friend didn't make me a bridesmaid. My friend and I are both 25-year-old female. We've been friends for 10 years. We've always just gotten each other and have seen each other through so many good and bad times. Family trauma, friend drama, never with each other, relationships and breakups, mental health stuff, you name it. I have definitely considered her my best friend for a while now. We have mutually told each other a number of times that there is no one else in either of our lives that we share so much with. I've definitely considered her my best friend for a while now. We actually live across the country from each other now, and I've gone and visited her a few times, and we've had a blast every visit. When I'm not visiting, we talk on the phone every single day, usually for over an hour. We're close enough also that we don't even talk half the time, just comfortable silence or watching a show or something. My friend got engaged almost 2 years ago and chose her bridesmaids about a year ago. For context, I was the first person she called when she got engaged. When she told me she was asking her bridesmaids to be in the wedding soon, she said she was having a small wedding, but literally has 6 bridesmaids. That's not small, and she didn't ask me. She asked her sister and fiancé's sister, that's a given, 2 other close friends from high school, where we also met, and 2 friends from the state she currently lives in now. One of these friends truly starts drama with her every single week, and ruined her bachelorette trip by starting an argument. But my friend has admitted that she's not super close with her. I've also heard this friend's name mentioned like once. Her wedding is a week away, and honestly, I've made excuses for her this entire time, but I'm just wondering what gives and what is wrong with me. I get along with all her friends and her fiancé, even his family. We've never been anything but close. It's been really awkward every time I've had to answer why I'm not in the wedding if we're so-called best friends. I've been distancing myself because my feelings are hurt, and it hurts me to do so because I love her so much. But she has truly shown me that I'm less important to her than she is to me, I guess. Should I ever say anything in the future? Or just distance myself? If I were OP, I would be feeling kind of like, okay, so this is where I am in your personal hierarchy. I'm not going to count the fiancé sister, so what, 6th place? It kind of feels like that classic game of kickball or dodgeball in school where you line up against the wall and they pick the kids. Except in this case, you're so far last, they didn't even pick you. You gotta go sit on the sidelines and watch. It hurts because I can tell OP values this friendship so immensely, but I don't know if the other side sees it the same way OP does. Back from the Dead soon wrote, "You are, at best, her 7th best friend. Adjust your feelings towards her and your effort towards her friendship and her wedding accordingly." But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely crazy relationship story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.